so awesome.
Otherworldculture.com.
I don't have an answer today.com. Okay. I don't. Oh, shit. I have so much to do at the beginning of the show. An umpire and a vampire square off week after week, reviewing movies outside their own strike zone. This week's movies, the 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the 1984 Up the Creek, starring Tim Matheson, Alan Danziger, Marilyn Burns, Jennifer Runyon, Stefan First, and Gunnar Hansen. Now two guys who are at the age where an all-nighter means they didn't get up to go pee. Jeff Miller and Tim Crutchman.
I know where that one came from. Well, hey, folks, you're here for Dead on the Bases, and we're off to a wild start this night.
That's because we ate at the local. Well, we brought the local here.
No, we brought the local here. And that's actually short for locale.
It is.
Because, as you know, I always eat very, very healthy.
Right. Tim had a veggie burger and a salad tonight.
They said, that's a healthy eater. And I've been that way.
The veggie burger and
right.
And a salad.
That's what it was.
But we're here tonight.
We are. We're here alive and in person for Dead on the Bases. If you're joining us after the fact, well, you're joining us after the fact. You don't get to enjoy this live as we're producing it.
Right.
And watching Jeff misread things out of the chat room before the show began.
I read it correctly, but I didn't know you were doing the countdown.
You didn't really.
I did.
It was okay that you didn't.
But I didn't know you were doing the countdown. Why don't you just say, Jeff, stop what you're doing.
Because you never stop. And tonight, we didn't even say, I'm Tim.
I'm Jeff.
Okay. And
I'm Yelp. He's the vamp.
Right. And I'm going to review one of his silly little sports movies.
Oh, and I have the 1974, the OG, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's right. And I'm going to be reviewing Up the Creek. Not to be confused with Without a Paddle.
Right.
Puddle. I think it was Without a Puddle.
They're completely different.
They are. You sure?
Mine's better.
You know what, the first of many misconceptions we'll hear.
I cannot have this open. I saw what they put on here. I cannot put that. I have to go down here. All right, go ahead.
Yes, Jeff is still figuring out the computer that's in front of him for the last 15
minutes.
Well, you changed
the keyboard.
So many things.
I think the monitor is
different.
The monitor is smaller. It used to be bigger.
It's not.
Okay.
You know what it's time for? My review.
No, I go first.
You went first last week. We had this discussion I don't know how many times.
Review the tape. All right, go ahead.
Review the tape.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, I think I did go first last week.
Yes, you did. I keep track because I know this is the debate every week.
See, the way...
Not some weeks like a normal person would have. We have this debate every week.
But you know how people have, like, monocle cues to remember things? I thought whoever brings dinner goes first, but that must not be right. So the person who brings dinner goes second. I'll just remember that. Dinner, second.
Yeah, well, then I'm going to figure out a way to throw us off.
Because
of
think about dinner. Think about second is a two, and a D.
I am absolutely going to figure out a way to throw us off.
And dinner starts with a D. I got it. Let's go. Up the creek.
Up the creek.
Up the Creek.
Okay, so Up the Creek is a 1980s fraternity-style comedy that borrows heavily from Animal House, Meatballs, and Lucky Numbers. In the movie, the four were...
Okay, wait a second. You rat bastard. And I'll dig it. You rat bastard. I didn't see that coming. I'm drinking some Mountain Dew. The best soda on the planet. And that stuff almost came out of my nose. And it's the first time you've ever caught me on that. I swear to God, it almost came out of my nose.
It was awesome. Right. In the movie, the four worst students at a college are signed up to participate in a whitewater rafting competition in what we can only imagine is an elaborate plot by the dean to mortally wound or kill these students. In fact, there are two or three on-screen deaths in this film. A motorcyclist that gets a banana split with a hoagie on top of it to the face, and he goes off to his demise. And then the lead soldier in the military academy team, he's totally killed on screen. Half a dozen or more explosions with unknown casualties and consequences. True. In the movie.
Right, Tim's alley.
Along with no less than 5 kidnappings, 4 of them during the opening credits. Unnecessary violent attacks upon an innocent crow, and one character being tied to the ground with stakes and threatened with torture. And of course, there was a dog attack in there as well. I'm going to say this, and you're going to disagree, but I think this film is more violent than Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which Jeff likes to call TCC. Now, there are so many over-the-top violent acts that happened in this film.
Yes.
It's violent, but it's cartoon.
Not violent. Yes,
it's incredibly violent. How many homes explode in Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
None.
How many tents explode? A tent explodes in this movie.
The army team.
A tent.
The army team.
Explode. There's nothing explosive in the tent, but the tent explodes.
The army team. You have to admit, I would think of the Roadrunner and the Coyote.
Oh, absolutely.
That's taken from that. 100%.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
Have you ever seen the movie The Villain?
No.
With Kirk Douglas. No. It was one of the first roles Arnold Schwarzenegger had.
Oh, really?
And it's a Western. And Kirk Douglas is basically the coyote, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is the roadrunner, and he's the good guy cowboy, and he's escorting Anne Margaret across going somewhere. You know, there are a bunch of Western people. They're going west, I suppose.
Oregon Trail?
And that movie is such a Roadrunner film. It's over the top, but kind of funny.
I would love to see that. Could that be one of mine?
It's not a horror film.
Okay.
But I could get it for you.
Could it be a sports movie?
No.
Okay, so then I just need to watch it on my own.
Well, wait. We've called some... This being called a sports movie is kind of a stretch,
Let's just go.
So, Jennifer Runyon is in this film.
Just beautiful.
She is yummy throughout. I mean, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
It's Jennifer Runyon.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't recognize her, she is the beautiful girl that Bill Murray is doing the ESP trick with at the beginning of Ghostbusters.
Even though she's the lead in this, the female lead in this, everybody thinks of her for
Ghostbusters.
She's
better known for Ghostbusters by a country mile. My brother pulled out, she was the girlfriend in the first season of Charles in Charge.
Okay.
He knew that, and I was
nice job, Stefan.
Way to go. Because I'm sitting there looking at IMDb, and I didn't see that thing. He knew it right off the top. But, I mean, she's the type of girl, you see her, and you go, oh, okay. That's all right. I'll do that. So, in this movie also, Magnum P.I.'s handler is the dean of students.
Yes.
And the guy from Hill Street Blues is selling weapons of mass destruction to the Ivy University team to literally wipe out the competition. We are not talking about, let's slow down the other teams. No, it's like, let's drop them with a torpedo. Let's blow them up with a rocket. Let's see if we can just kill them. They have a crossbow at one point. I mean... It's literally, let's see if we can wipe somebody completely off face of the planet. As Trogdor pointed out to me as well, he said, you know, they would have won the damn race if they didn't keep, straggling behind to viciously attack the competition, sending off missiles and torpedoes. They'd be like waiting for the other teams to catch up and then try to kill them.
To that point, every James Bond villain sets it up so James Bond can get out. He can all just kill James Bond, but they don't.
Yeah, well, and
this movie.
I talk about them with Batman all the time. It's Batman and Robin are in a bird cage above a pool of sharks, and the rope that's holding them is like a candle is put underneath it. And then what is the villain tells exactly what they're going to do, and then walks away, knowing full well that Batman has his utility belt. He's going to use the shark repellent and all that stuff. It's like, I got an idea, Joker. Use a real gun instead of that one with the flag that comes out of it and blow his brains out. And then you have no more problem. But no.
Trogdor's right. Switchblade oars. You can't forget those.
Oh, my God. But anyway.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm seeing Charles in charge in here.
Lucky
okay.
numbers. I think she's in that, too.
Okay. Anyway, so I did point this out. A tent explodes in this movie when the main post comes out. I believe Mythbusters actually busted that one.
Really?
Yeah. Gasoline is poured all over three vehicles because Flounder doesn't know to stop a gas pump. And luckily, no one died in those incidents. There's a scene. He's like, I'm going to steal some gas from these other people.
That's a good scene, though.
So instead of stopping the pump, putting the pump into the other gas tank, and then depressing the button again to get more liquid, he keeps it going, baby. And he's having trouble putting it in the next tank. It's getting all over everything.
Yep.
And, that, and I think we do need to point out that Tim Matheson and Stephen Furst are in this movie. They were Otter and Flounder in Animal House. This movie was made, what, 5-6 years after that or something like that? Sandy Helberg, did you recognize him at all? Sandy Helberg.
No, I probably didn't.
Okay, he's the guy with the glasses that was tied down for a big part of
it. Was he Married with Children? No, that's not the same guy.
No, but his son is Simon Helberg. You might know him as Howard in the Big Bang
Theory. Get out of here right now. That is the truth? No, don't leave because the show isn't as much fun without you.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to prove I can get out of a chair.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. We're going to have a picture of him in a minute.
If you only get anything out of this whole show this week, that's what you should get out of this. Okay. At least
the acting is about what you would expect for this type
Very
of movie.
Very good. And Academy Award winning. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time.
Maybe it's time
for us to look at some of these. With the horror movie convention. Yeah, go ahead. Horror movie connection.
It bothered me that Tim Matheson was always had a stogie. That sort of didn't seem like it fit what was going on.
I think they needed him to have a cigar because there was gasoline at every moment.
I don't know. He never did it.
I was expecting at any moment.
I like the fact when, what's his name, the Helber guy, when he was making the drinks. And he all asked for something different, and he handed him the same drink. I thought that was
funny. Oh, yeah, it was the same drink every single time.
That was good. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. But there's parts of the movie that weren't horrible.
But I'll let you get to your spiel.
Okay, well, we got Tim Matheson up here, of course, best known from Animal House, I believe. He has made a ton of movies and TV over the years. 193 credits.
Really?
193. Wow. He has 6.2% of his filmography is horror. That's 12 titles.
Like, what's an example?
He was in the 2019 Child's Play, the reboot and a reboot and a reboot of Child's Play. And Sometimes They Come Back is probably the one I thought of immediately, which is a Stephen King movie. It has the distinct honor of being on every single streaming platform I've ever seen. It's remarkably prolific. It used to be on Channel 18 here locally about three times a month.
Really?
It's one of these movies that was always on TV.
Was he younger then, or is this like an older one?
Well, yeah, he was younger then because it was made in the past.
Okay.
Right.
Next.
Anyway, he made two Buried Alive TV movies, and he was in an episode of the Night Gallery, so that goes way back before Up in the Creek, back before Animal House. That was one of his absolute first credits, which is what I always talk about, that a lot of times these young actors, they start out in horror. Now, Jennifer Runyon, again,
beautiful. Just
we
beautiful.
We told you about her being the student in Ghostbusters, but she was also in the 2015 Silent Night, Bloody Night.
Really?
Two.
Oh.
She couldn't even get in the first one. And she was in a movie called Terror Tales. All told, she only has five horror credits, but her percentage is 13.2 because she's only got 38 credits, which blows me away because I thought she was great in this. I think she's definitely drool-worthy. I was like, I kind of thought that she did a lot, but apparently not. Stephen First, we have here, you recognize him from St. Elsewhere.
Oh, really?
You recognize him from Animal House, of course. And you probably recognize that his percentage is at 6.5%. He has 93 films to his name. And he was in Class Reunion, which is kind of a horror parody type of film.
Oh, I know what that movie was.
And he was in Silent Rage, which blew me away. The Chuck Norris
really?
Is a zombie film, Silent Rage. But he apparently was in that sucker. Then we got Dan Monahan. He is best
Porky's.
Known for being in the first two Porky's
Pee-wee.
Yes, he was. And he was in a movie called Night Flyer, which is his only horror credit, but he only had 17 credits total, so that adds up to 5.9%. Here's the thing. Night Flyer, it's a Stephen King movie. I cannot find that thing anywhere. I never heard of it before. I'm on a hard target search for that movie.
It's Night a good, Flyer. It's a good flick. I can send it your way.
So ridiculous. Why don't we ask your hippie friend if he's got it?
Whatever.
All right. So then
keep
we got.
Keep on, keep it on.
Then we got Sandy Helberg.
Wolowitz.
That picture you can really see Howard.
Howard Wolowitz.
You can
hell
really
yes, you
see
can.
Howard there. He only has two horror credits. Lowest of the group that I looked at from this movie, he has only 3.2%. The Granny in 1995 was his big horror film.
Yikes.
Yeah. I think he mostly did comedy. Then we have James Sicking, sometimes billed as James B. Sicking. He is probably best known for a long run on Hill Street Blues. He was in the original run of Outer Limits. He did an episode on Night Gallery. One of his bigger roles, he was in The Terminal Man in 1994. That's a movie that was based on a novel by the same guy that wrote Jurassic Park. He was in The Strangler in 1964, and he did a bunch of horror TV movies. All in all, though, only 8 total horror credits in a filmography that has 159, though I was surprised by this. He has actually less credits than Tim Matheson, which blows me away because James Sicking is usually like a second guy or a supporting actor. Tim Matheson is almost always the star of the movie. So it's amazing how many movies Tim Matheson has done.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes, sir.
So someone like James Sicking.
Yeah.
Now, do you take every one of his Hill Street Blues as a credit, or is that just one
credit?
No,
it's one credit.
Okay, you are counting TV.
That's how IMDb does it.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
And I think he might have even had like two episodes of Outer Limits or two of Night Gallery or something. It's counted as one credit.
Gotcha.
That's just how IMDb
does
it.
See what you
it
learn on this show? You learn things.
And then John Hillerman, who I think everybody knows from Magnum P.I., he's a Texan. He's not British.
Get out of here.
He's a Texan. He is probably best known for Magnum P.I. I would say second thing he's probably known for is he was Howard Johnson in Blazing Saddles. But he did have three horror credits. One of them's pretty big. He was in Audrey Rose, which was based on a pulp novel of that time. And he was in a TV movie called Sweet, Sweet Rachel, which is another film I've been on the search for. I can't tell you how long. Can't find this effing thing. Have you got that one too, Jeff?
I do.
Okay, thank you. So you'll be taking care of me on that one.
Hell
too.
Yeah.
But that's Up the Creek's Horror Movie Connection.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah, it is time for him. Let's go.
Dead. Need fundage, bro.
You're going to do this with Tim Matheson, I bet. You have to.
Yes, I did. Tim Matheson was in National Lampoon's Van Wilder,
yes,
which connects to Curtis Armstrong. You might remember Curtis Armstrong from Moonlighting, and he was in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh.
And he was in the movie Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. Unreal. And unfortunately, Pauly Shore was also in that film. Anybody associated with that film, I'm sure, doesn't like me mentioning it.
I've never heard of that show.
It's a horrible movie. A horrible character from Saturday Night Live. They decided to put a movie around.
It was his character?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a character called Bucky Larson. It should have been called Sucky Larson. It was so bad.
Sucky's not a bad word.
Oh. Then I ring it upside down.
Dad
reversed it.
I got it. It's like a reverse monkey claw. I got it.
Right. So, yeah, that's the Pauly Shore connection. Guess what it's time for, folks?
Your rating.
It's time for me to rate this bad boy. I've been going back and forth on it because...
Come on, Tim.
I'll be honest with you.
Come on, Tim.
This movie isn't very good.
Tim?
It isn't very good. But it's not made to be good.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, this is a movie that's...
The typical mid-80s comedy.
It's a fraternity house. How many scenes do they open up a door and they're tripping over beer cans?
A couple.
Laying in there. It's like three or four times.
Perfect
in the movie.
Great movie to go see.
So, don't oversell it. I was going to drop a point if you tried to oversell
it. I didn't try to oversell it.
You did, actually.
No, you... That's BS. Do not drop a point.
But I am going to give it the full points I was going to give it. Here's the thing. It is a comedy. I did laugh. I wasn't proud of it. I wasn't proud of it because...
This is the first time you saw
it? This is violence toward people at every single time you turn around. It is the first time I saw it.
And... Yes!
I gave it a 7.
Yes, baby!
I gave it a 7.
Yes, baby!
And I laughed at least 4 or 5 times pretty hard.
Yes!
I'm not proud of
this. The elf is coming back, folks!
I am not proud of laughing at this movie because you sit there and you go, oh my God, that's so stupid. I can't believe that just happened. Yeah, it did happen. It was right there on the screen in front of you. There's nothing much you can do about it.
Yes, baby.
It's a goofy, ridiculous movie, but it has its moments. So I have to give it a 7. You know what hurts me is making you this happy.
I mean,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
But anyway, that's Up the Creek, and now it's time to take a break, folks. I hope. There we go.
What are we doing? Oh, sports. I thought we were doing I thought we were doing the merch first, but all right, the sports tonight is brought
to you. Because every week we do it exactly the same order.
But tonight's sports is brought to you by the local. The best. The
what?
Best.
They never give you anything. Why?
Best, the best food in Muskego.
Why?
And they're so close to New Berlin. Thank God they don't live there.
Oh, my God.
They are. It's right across the street. Here we go. I'm Jeff Miller, and this is the sports that I know.
That's over.
No. The big story is kind of sports, kind of entertainment. O.J. Simpson passed away today. He died. He's done. O.J. Simpson.
His reign of terror is done.
O.J. Simpson has passed away. He used to play for the Buffalo Bills, and he had that court case at the end of the 90s, end of the last century. But O.J. Simpson, there you go. So the rest of the sports, because I don't...
I heard they're going to take him in a white Bronco purse.
So the rest, who's going to be
driving? But it's going to drive very slow.
Who's going to drive?
Very
slow. Who's driving, AC?
I don't know if it is air conditioning or not.
Oh, God. All right, here we go. Here's the rest of sports. The Brewers last night won.
Was it too soon for a joke on that?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
The Brewers won last night. That's great. They're in second place in the division. Pittsburgh keeps
winning. Second place?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's got an extra win on us. That's all right, though. We like both those teams. The Cubs lost yesterday, but again, you can't spell Craig Council with a couple L's. So go Cubbies, go.
You're still trying to make that into a joke.
It's a great joke. I'm going to make t-shirts up with that.
Probably will.
The Bucks won. The Bucks put two games in a row together after losing four straight to four terrible teams. Giannis Antetokounmpo is hurt. He's got a strained calf.
Do you think that's what helped them?
I don't know. He sat out and they won two games, so we'll see.
Maybe they need to beat on him a little more.
The Masters kicked off. The Masters is in Georgia.
That looks like a golf club.
There you go. The golfing moose. The Masters took off today, but it was rain delayed, so they got a lot of golf to get in the
minute.
Next 3.5 days.
This. Hold on. Oh.
Wait.
There we got him.
There we go. That's better. Caddyshack.
There we go.
Did we review that movie yet?
Yes. My God. This is my life, ladies and gentlemen.
And finally, the Admirals play tomorrow night at home. So if you're not going, get a ticket and go. I'm Jeff Miller, and that's the sports I know.
It sure is, and that's about all you know. Are you ready?
For merch.
I love
that's like the best commercial ever.
Well, here comes a new one.
We will return you to the regularly scheduled program in just a moment.
Let's make some merch money.
Dead on the Bases has get this high-quality, durable garment at our store.
Durable.
Or a fine partner location. Get our classic and classy tees that really shine, worn out on their own, made with a super soft blend of ring-spun cotton and polyester to help the shirt keep its shape, as it will soon be the shirt you wear for all occasions. And what else do we have coming in the line?
I'm thinking about getting coasters, and I'm thinking about getting tumblers, like Yetis. I don't know, man. I think we got a market going. I don't know.
As always, Jeff, you are so right. Get this fabulous product now at a location near you. Dead on the Bases. When you care. And when you are...
Open it up, Muskego style.
There you go. Schomburg's had good pizza. I like Schomburg's pizza.
Oh, yeah. I used to eat that all the time. And that used to be our favorite frozen pizza around.
That's the thing. They were made here in Muskego, and then they were distributed in our local grocery stores.
No, not at the local.
No.
They were at local. I don't know why you always do that. Yeah. It was always like them and Tombstone. They were right next to each other.
I never liked Tombstone.
And we always picked Schomburg's while it was still around.
Oh, local. You have to go local. Or area, or whatever you
want
to call
it. It was actually good.
It's very good.
So, yeah. That's it for the merch. I think it's time for us to go into your review.
Did your family ever eat at Schomburg's?
Oh, yeah, but not a lot. Not a lot.
Not us either. We did. I think we would do the Saturday buffet.
Right. The buffet. Everybody went for the smorgasbord.
That's it. Okay, yeah. Smorgasbord, yeah. Is that because it's Schomburg Sports, Chef Sports Fan?
Yeah, you know who the you are now.
I know, but is the email going to come up there? Because I just...
Because of all the people that have been emailing
Well, here's the thing. I got a lot of orders for merch this past... There it is. So just... I only have a few pieces of merch left. I have a new order out, so I should be getting some more in. So if you get in here this still this week, I have two extra larges, a large, and a medium left. So if you get in now, I can still get those two. We do have some koozies, a fair amount of koozies left. And we have some new merch on
Fair amount, yeah.
On the Jeff Miller website.
On the Jeff Miller website? Well, I didn't know there was one.
Well, there's not. You just go to my email. But here we go. Let's talk about, but now see, here's the thing, Tim. I want to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, TCC. Now, the reason why I call it TCC is because if you call it TCC.
Because you're a scaredy cat.
No, if you say TCM, you might get confused with TMC or TMZ. So if you say TCC, it's not right, but it's not wrong.
What the hell is wrong with you?
All right, so let's get down to business here. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, this is the original. This is not... The remakes, the 3D, the... I don't like that.
I know.
Okay, it's not the game show. What is that? I didn't even watch. Just watch this time. Oh, I don't like seeing that. Okay, we're done with that. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is 1974. It's rated R. It's 1 hour and 23 minutes long. So
I'm so glad that your reviews always include the length of the film.
Well,
it's very helpful.
It's important.
Okay.
And see, the other thing, when I watch a movie that I don't know anything about, which is a lot of times,
yeah,
something that will draw me into a movie that won't draw me into other movies is what's the length of time. And I'm not talking an hour and whatever. I'm talking about does the movie span over a day? Does it span over a month? Whatever. Now, this movie spans over one day's time. That's right up my alley. I know.
A really bad day.
I know that when this movie starts, it's going to end by the end of the day in the movie. So I can sort of pace myself. I like to pace myself. Whatever I'm doing, I like to know the beginning, the middle, and the end. If I'm eating supper or lunch, I like to know all my food is there so I know what to eat, what not to eat, how long it takes me to eat it. If I'm going to sleep, I like to know what time I'm getting up. That's why it's good to know how long a movie is. But not hour and time-wise, but length of the movie. In the movie. Like, up the creek is, they tell you the beginning of the movie, it's a 3-day movie. It's 3 days. So you're like, okay, day one is over. There's only a little bit more of the movie left. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, but I'm used to that.
Okay, now, the movie like Lucky Numbers took place over a long period of time, so you got to pace yourself during that movie. All right.
That movie was such a huge influence on Up the Creek.
It was. Yeah, it almost made me spit out my drink. So anyways, okay, so back to...
That's not easy to do. He was already over at the local. You know he was tying one on.
So, no, that's not even true. So the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a 1974 film. It's R-rated, and it was 1 hour and 23 minutes long. Now, this movie...
Some people might have missed that earlier.
Now, the cool thing about this movie is that it's... Well, because it's 1974 and we live now, you look back on this and you're like, it's pretty cool. Who directed this? Tom Hooper. No, Toby.
Tom Hooper was a customer newsman here at ITI here locally.
So
Tom Hooper did not direct this. Toby Hooper.
So his brother Toby.
His brother Toby.
Okay. But it was kind of cool because there's shots of like the camera angles coming up through the grass or it's like distant shot. It was really cool how it was put together. You see the van that they're in, it's a distance from it. It gives you a real 70s feel. And yes, the movies take place in the 70s, but watching it now, you're like, you feel like you're there. You can feel the heat of Texas. You feel the heat, the sweat. You almost start swatting flies off you because it just, you feel like you're there. I think the cinematography is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what it starts out with this monologue. And the monologue is read by John Larroquette, the guy from Night Court. And
Stripes.
And yes, and Stripes. And Tim, you know what they paid him to do that?
They gave him a joint.
Like, that's a pretty cool trivia fact. That's pretty cool.
Every interview with John Larroquette, he brings that up. And a lot of the Texas Chainsaw guys will bring that up. Because John Larroquette probably is the biggest star that came out of this movie. Yep. And Toby Hooper made some cash. But a lot of the people, even though this is a huge movie, really didn't go on to do a whole lot.
No. So this is what I'm getting at. And I'm gonna swear to you guys this now, and I told Tim this earlier this week. There is no way that I spoil this movie. Because I am so confused about this movie, I wouldn't know how to spoil it. But I know I'm not gonna spoil it.
I'm confused.
So here's the thing.
It's such an intricate plot. You know, if you miss even a second, you've missed a second.
And this isn't exactly just a horror movie. It's kind of like a horror comedy. It is, and I will get to this. There is a comedy factor to this that not many people can pull out. But when you have the astute eyes and ears of me.
I'm trying to remember where in IMDb trivia they said this. No. But go on.
You know what? I'll add it to IMDb. I'll just put it in there. Because you can add whatever you want. But to me, this was part of like, it was horror. It was like, it was...
I would say it was horror.
It was 73% horror and 27% comedy. And here's how I got to that. So this woman, Marilyn Burns Sally, by the way, she plays a fantastic part in this. Marilyn Burns plays a fantastic Sally in this movie. Her and her brother, Franklin.
Unlike the other Sallys.
Right. They're with a couple of friends, and they're in this van, and they're going to Texas. They're going there. And there's something going on where there's a graveyard, and there's people like... So during the beginning of the movie, you hear a news report of people grave robbing, right?
Right.
So they go to this grave to see if their grandpa's there or whatever, but that doesn't really make a difference. So now they get back...
That's fair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They get back in this van, and they're traveling down the road because they want to go to like their grandpa's place or something like that, and they pick up a hitchhiker. Now, the first thing my wife says is, why would you pick up a hitchhiker? And I said, well, if they don't pick up the hitchhiker, then probably this movie's going to end. So they got to pick him up. So they pick up this hitchhiker, and I'll tell you what, this hitchhiker, if you watch this movie, you will never pick up a hitchhiker again. This guy was just crazy, but... That's where some of this comedy comes in, because he's talking gibberish. He's doing crazy stuff. He's lighting stuff on fire. He's cutting himself. It's just nuts. Okay, it's just nuts. And you have Paul Parton, who plays Franklin, who's the brother, and he's a guy in a wheelchair. And this isn't like 2000 wheelchairs. This is like 1974 wheelchairs, where you're actually making stuff work. And the first time you see this guy, they have these wood panels that they put out of the van. They roll him down. He's got to go pee in a coffee cup, and he goes flying. But they get him back in the van, and they pick up this hitchhiker, and he's crazy. But here's the thing, Tim.
Get to the thing.
They're like, this guy's crazy, and they kick him out of the van, right?
Right. That's what you do with crazy people.
But then they're like, you know what? We got to keep on going. And you think maybe, you know, maybe they're going to just keep on going. But they stop at a gas station because they got to get gas.
Which either they stop at the gas station or they just run out of gas.
Right, but they go there. But here's the thing, Tim. They go there and they say, we don't have any gas. So they're like,
oh my God.
They're like, you know what? You know what? We're going to go back. Now, this is what's crazy about this movie. We're going to go back to Grandpa's house. So they go back, but you don't have a lot of gas. But you go back and you go to this house, and it's not like Grandpa and Grandma are there like, come on in, kids. Have some food. The thing's deserted. It's crazy because it's run down. There's nobody there. The windows are broken. The doors are broken. There's spiders. But they, like, hang out there. And I don't even get this. And they're like, let's go swimming. And then that goes on. But here's the thing, Tim. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Why did they go? See, I want to ask questions. So help
go
me out.
Ahead.
But I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm going to give anything away.
Okay.
Okay, once you got to this house, you tell me if this is you and this in Trogdor, and you go to this house, and it's what it looks like, why are you going in? What's the purpose?
I wouldn't go to Texas out in the outback there.
And then think of Franklin. They just leave that poor SOB to like
roll up on his own. Okay, but he's a jerk.
He is a jerk.
And I always thought it was very progressive, if you want, in this movie that they not only had a handicapped guy, but they made him the biggest jerk he was the antagonist within the group.
True.
Because he was a problem from the beginning.
Because he's miserable.
Just a jerk and he's miserable.
He's miserable because he gets in the house and he's like, they're having a good time. He's like, he's like making fun of them.
Yeah, he's, while the hitchhikers are out, he's sitting there playing with the knife the whole time.
What was that all about?
Put the knife away, you crazy cripple. Stop it.
But why was he so obsessed with that knife? Why do you have to play with a pocket knife? I didn't get it. It was like, he thought that was
so
like,
that it could get grabbed later on.
But it just seemed ridiculous to me.
There are people that do weird things like that.
So there's a part in the movie where it gets to be night, right? And Franklin.
That's the part that happens after the day part, right?
But you know that's only a little bit more is left. So you're like, what's going to happen? But here's the thing. So Franklin and Sally's looking for some people, and Franklin, and they're there by their van, right? And he has the flashlight, and he won't give her. It's just a weird scene. It's just like, it seemed like the scene was just stupid.
Well, there is a problem, right? Somebody's got to hold the flashlight. And Franklin's got to why they're letting Franklin go through the woods.
And she's pushing him through the woods. How the hell is she pushing? There's no way she's pushing him through that woods. With sticks and everything, she was moving pretty nice. And there's no way. There's no way that's getting through the woods.
She is easily 250 right. going on through.
There's no way she's doing that. Yeah. She was Marilyn Burns is a very pretty woman.
She's like 90 pounds.
Yeah.
This guy is like 250 going on 300. He's a behemoth. And he's freaking and I'm telling you, if you've ever pushed somebody's wheelchair, it's very different if they help you or they don't help you. And
he is
the type that was not helping.
He wasn't helping.
He wasn't helping.
I'm wrong
for that. Let's go.
Now, let's talk about Pam.
Pam.
Okay, Pam is one of the people that goes to the house before Sally does.
Yeah.
But this is what I didn't like about the movie.
She's a hooker.
This is what I didn't like about the movie. There were some scenes that were over the top. And
in a movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's such kind of a subtle title.
The thing that I didn't, she was in that one room with all the chicken feathers and all the bones.
Mm-hmm.
They spent too much time there. If that was me and I fell in that room, I'd be like, I'm getting out of here. But it was like 15 minutes of them. Look at this. It felt like it.
Look at this.
And it was all the same crap.
People that have seen this movie a number of times, the first time you see the movie is the longest it ever runs.
There you go.
Because when you watch it on repeat things, you're like, I thought that was like a 20-minute scene, and it's done in like 3 minutes. It's because they've created such a feeling of dread throughout the movie.
This is true.
You're just like, how long is this thing going to go? Like, there's a scene where the cook drives, Sally? Drives Sally back to the homestead.
Yeah.
And she's in a bag. He keeps poking her with a stick, which is one of my favorite parts of the movie. He's like, when I saw that the first time, I could have swore that it was a 50-mile drive and they just kept it going the whole time. And it's not a very long scene, but it seems long because of the suffering that's being inflicted on these characters. You're like, oh no.
The other scene that was like that, and this is the scene that I don't want to give away anything that's gonna give anything away.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Sally's in there and she's in despair. And they show her eyeball, they show her screaming, they show her looking up. That scene too seemed like it was just too much. I will say this about Sally. if there is anyone that should be called a scream queen,
oh yeah,
it should be Sally, because honestly, after this movie was over,
she had a set of lungs on her.
After this movie was over, I could still hear her screaming. She has such a distinct scream. The scream was like forever.
Yep.
That it's like, just shut up and run.
It's or just going.
That was another thing. I'm not giving anything away here. She's running away. It's like, stop screaming. He won't know where you are. But she keeps
screaming. Yeah, because it's freaking dark out.
Oh, hell yeah. I would have taken a shot to the right or left, and he'd be like, because... Because there's the comedy. Now you hear the laughter. No. There's the comedy.
That's you.
There's a scene. There's a scene.
There's when, not a scene where you go.
Yes, there's a scene at their kitchen table. There it was. And they're all talking they're talking like they don't have. They're talking gibberish. And you know what? You can look
it's
at
it. It's like you doing the sports.
No, you can hear. You know what I'm saying.
Gibberish.
But anyways, but it's just like. It's like, it's. I started laughing. I did. I started laughing because I'm like, there's no way the one guy understands what they're saying. What?
So you,
what'd you say?
I said nervous laughter.
No.
So you watched this with your wife.
I did with my wife and my dog.
Of course, Tango was there. We didn't question Tango's involvement. So, we knew Tango was involved from the start.
The thing about it is my wife stayed alert for the whole thing. And she was like, she's like, Jeff, you know this is going to happen. So she kind of like prepped me. So... I don't know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. She didn't know everything because she doesn't.
Were you guys scared at any point? No. Really?
I'll tell you
what. I consider this one of the scariest films out there.
I didn't consider it scary because, and I'm not trying to be like braggadocious or.
Well, we know you're not.
Here's the thing. Here's why I didn't think this was scary. There was intense scenes and there were scenes that it was intense for me. But it's not like The Collector or The Conjuring where I was scared. But this movie, at some point, why are you going in that? Why are you going in? You knock on the door. You say, hello, hello. Why do you walk in? You don't walk in. You walk in, you get what you get. Okay, you get what you get. Here's the thing.
I will say it's ironic that it was in Texas because basically they were enacting the castle law. Every single one of these people invade his home.
Yes.
They invade his home.
They do.
And he's just protecting his home.
Now
he does it with a hammer. He does it with meat hooks. He does it with a chainsaw. But there's only one, I think only one of the deaths even happen outside of the house unprovoked.
Yeah, and I know which one that is, but we're not going to say it. Yeah,
right.
But here's the thing. Can we talk a little bit about Leatherface real quick?
I think we could.
Okay, so there's this guy on here called Leatherface. And he's not wearing leather, so don't think like he's like S&M or anything like that. What it is, is that he's got like people's like skin on his face. Now, I'm going to say something now, and I'll probably sound really dumb. But the first face that he had on, I got it. But the second face he had on, I thought that was dumb. Because it looked like a damn clown. And I think that was stupid. And I know what it was, but I think it was dumb. I think he should have just kept the one face on. Mm. And why would he change? Why would he even change? It's the same day. It's the same couple hours. Yep. Yeah, that's the face. I don't like that one.
Yep.
So anyways. So as far as... Now, that's a scene right there. I would like to talk about that scene, but I don't know if I should.
We're running out of time.
All right. So anyways... Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Do you have an idea what I'm going to give this?
I think we first got to do a Pauly Shore.
Oh, sure. Well, you said these people really haven't done too much, so I'm going to say that you tied them up with Edward Neal.
Well, I can't remember who he did. Where is it? There it goes.
Oh, Gunnar.
Gunnar Hansen.
Who plays Leatherface?
He plays Leatherface. He made a movie called Brutal Massacre, a comedy.
Basically.
And in that movie was Ken Foray, who folks that watch this show know that he was in Dawn of the Dead. And then we go on. He was in the film Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, which, of course, was Pauly Shore's only decent movie. really, that he made. Yeah. So that's the Pauly Shore connection. Again, only two. I mean, it's amazing how quickly we take this obscure 1974.
Right.
Film, not obscure, but a movie that doesn't have a whole lot of connections. It only took two shots and we got it to Pauly.
So let me tell you about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Do you think you have an idea what I'm going to give it?
Oh, we're doing a great.
Well, isn't it a great time?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but here's the thing. I like the cinematography. Like I told you, it made me feel like I was in Texas. I've only been to Texas once, but it was at night, so I don't know. But this made me feel like I was in the middle of the day in the heat, and I just, it was dreadful. There was some intensity here.
Yeah.
There was some comedy in here. And there was a beginning.
There was an annoying cripple.
There was a beginning, middle, and end. It made sense. The movie made sense. So that being said, do you know what I'm giving it?
I think you're going to give it a fairly high score.
I am.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 7.
Wow. A 7.
I'm giving it a 7 because, like I said,
I didn't expect it to do that well because this is legitimately a scary movie.
It's not.
It is.
I don't feel like, okay, so for me, I don't feel that it is. If Tim says it is, I just think there's a lot of scenes that are intense and stressful, but I was never scared.
I'm literally gobstruck. That's amazing to me because this is a movie. This is literally on my scariest movies list.
Wow.
This is right behind The Exorcist. It's like my second or third. It's like my second or third most frightening film. Yeah, I think this is a very scary movie.
And I'm not being a smartass. I just don't think it was that scary. It was intense.
You think different than a lot of people. This has been established throughout the show. But you want everything always making sense, and when it doesn't make sense,
but
you
kind of
check out.
I stayed through this whole thing. It made sense.
Okay.
It's just, that's not from this movie.
I don't know how that one got in but I'm glad it was there.
That's my girl, Andrea De Gregorio.
That was that. Anyway.
Anyways.
So, that's it, which means we're into the trivia section of the show, which is everybody's favorite. Here's what happens. We're going to read three statements. One of them's a big old lie, and the other two are true. If the opponent figures out which one's a lie, they get 5 points. If they screw it up, they get nothing. A whole lot of nothing. So you going first, Jeff? It looks like you're ready.
No. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
So many choices, so little time. All right. Jenna Kona. Okay, she was in the movie with the rest of them, right?
All
right. She plays Molly. She's one of the main girls on the raft.
Okay.
Was also a 1980 playmate who went to Whitnall High School.
Local Whitnall High School?
Yeah, Whitnall High School, yep.
Okay.
Tim Matheson, whose cousin is Kevin Cronin, lead singer of REO Speedwagon. He was able to get Kevin Cronin the lead song Up the Creek for the soundtrack.
Okay.
And before being discovered, Stephen First was a pizza delivery driver who included his headshot in his pizza boxes that he delivered.
Those are the three.
Yeah, I don't have any more.
Okay. I don't even have to really think about this one too much because the song Up the Creek was done by Cheap Trick, not REO Speedwagon. Thus, that one, the REO Speedwagon one, I think it was the second one you said, that's the lie.
Correct.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Oop, that's wrong.
But isn't it cool a playmate went to Whitnall High School?
We have beautiful women here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but how many do you know that went to Muskego or Whitnall or Franklin? Come on. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
How about the Stephen First thing? That was kind of cool, too.
Pizza delivery guy? He kind of looks like every pizza delivery guy I've ever
seen. If I didn't do the Cheap Trick thing, would that have been on the table for you to think it was a lie?
That, yeah.
damn.
Yeah.
I couldn't come
up with a lie. REO Speedwagon, I know what REO Speedwagon sounds like.
I know. I couldn't come up with a lie, so yeah.
Cheap Trick is a local band. They come out of, like, Northern Illinois, don't they? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I might know about that. I can't look at the chat room right now anyway, so... But I'm sure they're yelling at me.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Three items.
Can I add this up or not? No. I'll put up the cream.
Why?
Because okay. I can look at them.
Here we go.
There she is.
This is going to be easy, I think. But we'll see how you do. Bill Moseley, who played Chop Top in the sequel to this film, got the role by making a short parody film named The Texas Chainsaw Manicure that was noticed by the director. Speaking of the director, in the second one, Toby Hooper went on to direct Life Force, a movie about space vampires featuring Picard himself, Patrick Stewart. And the third one, the only screen credit for Gunnar Hansen, who played Leatherface, was this film.
So, first of all, I have to ask, how can you ask me a question about a sequel to a movie that I probably never saw the sequel?
Right.
How can you do that?
There's a reason I'm asking that question.
It's probably false. All right, so then, and then the other one, what's the third one again, please?
Okay, so the third one is the only screen credit for Gunnar Hansen, who played Leatherface. This is his only screen credit.
And then can you just please give me the second one more time?
Second one was Toby Hooper, the director, went on to direct Life Force, a movie about space vampires featuring Picard himself, Patrick Stewart.
All right, here's how this is going to run down.
Mm-hmm.
First one's going to be true. The one that I'm sitting on is this, the Gunner one. Just the reason why is because there were so many Chainsaw Massacres. I just don't know if he did another one. And if you're behind a leather face, who would know if it's him or not? Just like with the Jasons, who even right. really knows? That's why right. there's Kane Hodder and all that.
Right.
But then Picard, I mean, I think you're trying to do the whole space thing and you're trying to throw vampires in there. Bill Moseley sounds familiar. Like, I know that name from
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You actually
how do I
saw him where? Earlier this or last month now.
Did I see him?
Yeah, he did.
Was he there?
Yeah.
Like, was he like walking through the crowd or was he there? Like, was did
he
we
was
talk
at
with
a
him?
Panel you sat at.
Oh.
Okay, so House of the Thousand Corpses.
Which one was he? There. Was he the guy talking the whole time?
No. He was the guy in the middle of the three.
Like an Oreo cookie. Let me think here. That Gunner one. I mean, you yourself said these guys didn't do. You yourself said these guys didn't do a lot. What are you doing? Stop it! Don't make. You say they didn't do a whole
these
lot.
These are
things.
So difficult.
I'm gonna say that whole Picard thing sounds like there's a lot of mumbo jumbo going on. Mm. I'm gonna say that one's false.
Are you sure you want to go with that?
You did this last time. But you're going to say, oh, if I say that, Jeff is going to say, no.
I'm just asking if you're sure you want to go with that.
Repeat the first question again.
The first was Bill Moseley, who played Chop Top in the sequel to this film, got the role by making a short parody film named The Texas Chainsaw Manicure.
Yes, he
that
did.
That was noticed by the director.
Yes, he did. Yep. Yep. So it's two.
So you're
the
saying
Picard is going to be the
Picard
false one.
Is false.
Yeah.
Sorry. Here's the thing. Bill Moseley tells that story a lot. In fact, he said it at the panel you attended. So I was hoping you'd know that one was true. It seemed to give you a lot more trouble.
I said that was true.
Right. But here's the thing. Remember I said the only screen credit for Gunnar Hansen was Leatherface. Who did I do the Pauly Shore connection with? That hurts. I gave you the answer. Actually, the movie Life Force, you are going to get in the future because it has about the most nudity of any horror film I've ever seen, and I know you'll love it. But it does have Patrick Stewart with hair. Patrick Stewart with hair.
Yeah, I'm depressed. I don't even want to hear it anymore. Because you're right. The answer was right there in front of
me. It was. I was like, am I making this too easy? And apparently, I wasn't. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It's time to look at the scores. And let's see here. I got a 5. And Jafe, you are not doing too hot so far. You need a vacation. It's coming soon. So
I'm upset.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
I'm even not even happy right now. Usually I'm pretty happy if I miss it, but
it wasn't an unfair question.
Was a fair question. That's why I'm like,
it wasn't unfair. I have unfair ones.
Can we just redo it? Can we redo the questions?
No.
Please?
Ask you again. Okay, Jeff, which one is false?
It's going to be the one where the gunner. No, gunner is true. Shoot, I almost said it false again.
Yeah, oh, my God. We better stop before you go negative.
So which one is it? It's Picard, right? The Picard one.
That's true. The false one was it was Gunnar Hansen's only screen credit. Yes.
Yeah, because you put it up.
Because he made other movies, like the one we added to Pauly Shore Connection.
Unreal.
Okay.
Unreal, Tim.
Well, I enjoyed it.
I know you did. You know what? This sucks.
I'm sorry. But next week, it's going to be easier because we have the same people starring in both films.
Go figure.
For our classics week.
Yeah.
Jeff, tell me all about this film.
Abbott and Costello. I know. Here come the Coheads. No, I've seen it a couple times.
Right? No, you have not. Do you even know what sport it's about?
It's in black and white, yes. There's a couple sports. There's actually a couple sports in it.
There is.
Yes.
No, it's about football.
No, it's not.
It's about football.
Yeah, but there's another sport in there, too.
No, there's not.
There's a boxing round or boxing thing.
No, that's Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man.
Okay, forget it. It's got sports in it, all right? It's got co-eds in it. There might be
Was made by Universal.
There might be a wet t-shirt contest. We'll see.
I will have so much trivia on Abbott and Costello, it's going to make you sad. And I am going to be doing Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Have you ever seen this before, Tim?
I've seen it a number of times. In fact, I read a book about it. So,
does it have anything to do with Patty Mullen? I'm Patty Mullen. Come on, date.
You know,
Frankenhooker. Come on, date.
You can't do that when I'm looking the other direction. You can't do that because I'm like, oh my God, it's Patty Mullen.
They should come out with Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenhooker. Could you imagine if they did that now?
Well, it'd be pretty difficult. It would, because not only would two of the people be dead and be participating in it, but Patty Mullen doesn't quite look like she did when she made Frankenhooker.
What if they do a reverse
check? She's still a beautiful woman, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be different.
Hear me now. Okay. What if they do a reverse negative and they make her...
A what?
A reverse negative.
Is that a thing?
They make her bring them to life and they're the male hookers. Think about it, folks.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Think about the reverse negative.
The reverse negative. All right, everybody. Well, that's coming. We'll be talking more about that, believe it or not, next week here on Dead on the Bases.
Well, D-O-T-B.
Well, at least you got that. I thought it was going to be TCC for a minute there.
No, because you get that. No, it's not even close, Tim.
No?
D-O-T-B. Okay.
D-O-T-B.
Just like
Dead on the Bases.
It's like K-N-O-T-B.
All right. Well, hey, I thought it was a good show. I'm continuing to beat the snot out of you, so that makes me happy. I happen to know the Abbott and Costello movie that you picked, and I think it's going to go kind of the same way.
This is a miserable season. I'll get through it, though, folks. I'll make it you worth it at the end.
I feel like what do they call it? Bye week that's coming up. I think that's going to do you a world of good. I think you'll reset. But anyway, it's time to close the crypt and call the game.
You're out!
Thank all of you for watching. Remember to share and subscribe to our show and feed. You can find the show at otherworldlyculture.com and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course on YouTube and other fine places where you find just fine podcasts. Ours, however, is superior.
As yes, it is.
Right.
Like the lake.
No, we're Lake Michigan.
Yeah, but superior.
Or, like the lake. You know what? I'm more of a Lake Dunoon type of guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Lake Dunoon.
Really? You like that better than Big Muskego Lake?
Better than Big Muskego Lake, definitely.
Really?
Little Muskego Lake and Dunoon Lake are in running.
I like Big Muskego.
Why? Do you really like sludge?
No, I like catching all the fish I catch on Big Muskego.
Those aren't fish.
Ice fishing on Big Muskego Lake is just awesome.
Hey, folks, if it's sports, it's a home run. If it's horror, run home. We're dead on the bases, and we'll see you next time.
Otherworldlyculture.com. Corbin Burns is a punk.
I surprised you with the 7, didn't I?
I figured you were going to like it once you started saying, I think you're going to be surprised. And I'm like, oh, so you liked it.
Well, then I got to hold my cards closer to my chest. I don't know, but I was just so excited when I watched it. But I didn't watch it more than once. These other movies I've watched a couple times.
Right.
But it just did something for me. It just does.
It's a gritty film.
There you go. That's it's a good word. Gritty.
Yet it has some beautiful camera work in it.
It does.
And I think, like, that hitchhiker scene really sets it for the rest of the film.
And it has a Milwaukee generator in there.
It does. No, it's a Wisconsin generator, isn't
it? Wisconsin.
Wisconsin
homage
generator.
Homage to...
homage.
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 Homage, homage, whatever.